How can busy young families find time for family worship, and what might that look like?
We'll discuss this important topic and more with the Inverse team today on Real Family Talk. Join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk. Today, we are discussing how busy young families find time for family worship and why it is important to leave a spiritual legacy for our children.
We'll also be talking with a few special guests from the Inverse team as they share their own personal experiences with family worship and ways for families to get started or make it more meaningful.
We'd like to mention that this episode is not about presenting perfect families who have textbook family worships, but rather real families who believe that family worship is important. They keep trying and they don't give up. We want to give you hope that something as simple as including a Bible verse and prayer during breakfast or as you carpool to school in the morning is a big win.
That's right, Elaine. Family worship is actually an opportunity to bond our families together while teaching our children to worship and love God. It serves as a protective factor as each family member puts on the armor of God as a protection against the wiles of the enemy. It also is an opportunity to leave a legacy of faith with our children.
Joining us today are Justin Kim, Siku Dako, and Jonathan Walter. They are members of the Inverse team here at the Hope Channel. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited.
Inverse in the house. Kind of starstruck,
you know?
Inverse in the house.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Inverse real quickly. What it is, what do you guys do, and how does it relate to family worship?
Yeah. So we are a young adult Bible study show. We follow the young adult Bible study guide called Inverse, and it comes out 4 issues a year on different books of the Bible or different topics. And we are somewhat young adults, and we kind of represent different people groups around the world, at least superficially. But we're all international in nature, I guess. And what unites us is a love for Scripture, a love for the Lord. And we all have young families too, and we're trying to get through this just like anyone else is and trying to make sense of, you know, what's important and how to disciple our children.
Yeah. That's amazing. You know, that's for everyone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you study the Bible every day or not, and you guys do. You want to be able to connect your families with that reality, and mm-hmm. you want them to have the opportunity to connect with God. Mm-hmm. It's not just a superficial thing. It's not just something you come on television and talk about. It's right. something you want to live. One of you can say, what exactly do you do for family worship?
Well, I'll go first, I guess.
You have the most kids.
Thanks, I have the most kids. Yeah, I have 4. So we recently just started a new thing. So in the morning, we have morning and evening worship. So to start the day and to end the day for the children, just to provide that structure for them. So in the mornings, we just started something like 2 months ago where we're reading through the Bible. And we just got a family Bible, which we're super excited about. Nice. And we thought instead of letting it sit on the shelf and just write, you know, birthdays and, you know, anniversaries in it, we should actually just use it as a family. Okay. So we started reading. We are in Genesis chapter 9 only. Because we go slowly. We go, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And our kids, 4 of them, are 6 and under. So there's a lot of explaining, but in doing that, in simplifying it for the children, my husband and I find that we get a lot of gems out of it. So we usually do like a verse or two and just put it in children's language for them to understand what is God saying to us and why does this matter for us today. So that's something that we do in terms of like for Scripture. But probably the favorite part for our kids right now is the singing part. Mm. You know, we do a lot of singing, active singing, you know, the moving songs, and they love to participate. They get instruments, and they play along with worship. It doesn't sound great to anybody but us and Jesus.
Yes. Plus, it's involving them in the process of family worship.
Yes.
So it's something that is dynamic in your family.
Mm-hmm.
So it connects you to each other.
Yep.
And I really like the fact that you were talking about simplifying the reading of Scripture with your children. But simplifying it for them also becomes deeper for you. Mm-hmm. And it becomes ingrained in your own life and in your own mind that these gems of Scripture are actually important. Mm-hmm. And it says something about God and His plan for the human family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the idea of the family Bible and the excitement that the children would have going to get the Bible and bringing it. So that's awesome. How about you, Jonathan? What is your family doing?
Well, I just have a newborn. So her name is Zoe, and she's almost 6 months old now. But, you know, you have to start early to create habits and just help them understand where we're going. And so we have, you know, even though she doesn't really know what's going on, we have a little prayer. We sing a song with her. And that's in the morning. And then in the evening, we tell her a Bible story. Even though she doesn't know what's going on, she's just touching the book. But I believe that even that experience and praying together, that it makes a difference, because there is a great controversy, you know, going on around every soul, even our children. And so praying with them and getting them into, involving them in that experience is crucial. So we're trying to figure this out ourselves right now, how to best do this and how to make it exciting for the little one. But, you know, I'm here to hear some tips. So
absolutely. The idea of family worship comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Well, we see Moses telling the children of Israel to love God. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." Amazing words. When we return, we'll continue talking with our guests about the basics of family worship. Stay with us.
Today on Real Family Talk, we are discussing family worship for young families with some special guests from the Inverse team.
Justin, your family does something special on Friday night. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. We struggle with family worship a lot. So throughout the week, the morning and evenings are really, really short. But on Friday, we relax and we want time to slow down. And we have worship. We sing a little song. We read scripture like we do. And then we have family council. And so family council, now it's Sabbath, is we try to match it around sundown time.
Yes.
And my boys are 5 and 8 right now. And so they're at the stage where everything is unfair. Everything is, if brother have it, I have, you know, it's just all this boy drama.
Competition.
Competition is pretty strong.
Yes.
And so we slow things down and we go through 4 stages. And for the first stage, what are things you're thankful for as a family? And we take out our family journal and we write it down.
Oh, that's special.
And we also look back and we see like other things that they may have experienced, but they totally forgot. Remember that time we went out to ice cream on Monday as a family? And they're like, "Yeah, that was so awesome. I had chocolate, ice cream." So we write those things down. The second thing is, what are things that you want to pray for as a family? Grandpa, grandma, church, whatever. The third thing is, what are things that you've wanted to do, but we want to lock it in the calendar? We live such busy lives that if we don't slow down, we miss these opportunities of doing things intentionally as a family. And then lastly, we do laws, rules, and we have little icons. So the icons is like a little Ten Commandments little sign. Mm-hmm. And like, so what are things that you felt injustice during the week? And mom and dad included.
Yes.
That maybe mom and dad said something in a wrong way that may have hurt you, and then this is the time to think about it. Or things that mom and dad felt injustice about. And we want to tell you something that how we felt. At
so you get to write that as well.
We write all these things down.
Everyone gets an opportunity. Oh, that's nice. That's
and then we find different ways to solve that as a family. So our boys at the stage that they're right now, they'll have bathroom humor. Everything's, you know, poop. And I don't know if I can say it on TV. And just, we're like, we don't like it. So then every time you say something that you shouldn't, What's an appropriate punishment? Rather than dad screaming off the top of his lungs for the 90th time, because they don't like that.
Of course.
What do you guys like?
Yes.
And they say, well, we don't like carrots, so we'll eat 5 carrots. And then if they say it multiple times, it goes to 5, 10, 15, 30. So then they don't like eating 30 carrots. So then we'll change. We have an exchange system for 30 carrots for 1 celery, because celery is like the worst vegetable ever. So we codify it and then write it in the thing. And we see how that works for 1 week. And if that doesn't work, we change it to tomatoes or, you know, some whatever. And then we allow them to vote and have a partaking of the Sabbath as a family unit together.
Oh, wonderful.
That is amazing. That's amazing. So it's really important, I think, for our viewers to understand what is happening here. Several things I heard them say. One is morning and evening, that you're doing this bonding with their families morning and evening. And that's really important, because what they're doing is they're connecting. And that's what family worship is about.
Totally.
It really is that connection
yes.
with your family and the importance of arming your children. So when you say, Jonathan, that you're praying over this little baby, she doesn't know yet, but you guys know.
That's right.
And actually, subliminally, right, she's feeling the attachment. She's feeling the warmth from
she's
you.
She's hearing the words.
And she's hearing the words, and you're invoking God's presence in her life, right? So you're creating a legacy, a tradition in your family. But the other thing that that you mentioned, especially you, well, both of you actually, is the emotion coaching. And from a psychological perspective, actually, we know that parents who coach their children's emotions actually fare better. So you're not saying you're letting your children get away with everything or make their own decisions for everything, but they do have choices, right? And you're helping them to channel those emotions in a positive way. And then, of course, most important with family worship is teaching our children to worship God, to recognize a creator God. I love the fact that you're saying you start with Genesis, in the beginning, right? Because we're fighting against all types of divergent views today. And for our children who trust us because we're creating this safe, warm environment to hear from their parents in the beginning, God, this God that we need to worship, who loves us. So that's we're just trying to help our families understand how important family worship is and the fact that anyone can do it. And the quick worships in the morning, because you have older kids who have to get out to school. And so you don't have to have worship for an hour
or 20
you know,
minutes.
Or 20 minutes. You can have it for 5 minutes. And that's family worship, right? Here's the question I have for you now. How are you guys managing social media and devices? And how does that impact your ability or your just doing family worship?
Okay.
So
my husband and I made a kind of radical decision right at the beginning that we would not have a television in our home.
Good
and
for you.
I mean, we understood that it for the children it means a little bit more work on our part, but we made that choice because we know ourselves, and we knew that it would be very easy to just turn on the TV and let it babysit the kids so we could do what we need to do. So we decided to not give ourselves an easy way out, and we said no TV, but we still have phones, right? That becomes the challenging part is where we told the children, and we tried to stick to this, that we have screen time as a special thing that we do for us, we do on Sabbath. We call it jam session, where, you know, we'll go on YouTube and watch, you know, song, like through the week we sing the songs, but on Sabbath they get to watch videos, you know, of children's music. And it's something that they look forward to. So it's like, okay, a treat on Sabbath, we're gonna have jam session for like 30 minutes. So we're trying really hard to limit their exposure to screen time throughout the week and make it a once in a while thing that they can, you know, enjoy on the Sabbath. And otherwise, you know, we're refereeing a lot of fights, basically.
What I like about what you're saying is that you are giving them that screen time, but it's a controlled screen time. It's specific positive messages, because there's so much negative happening in our media today and around us, so that if we're not paying attention, then we are bringing in stuff into their lives. Well, we are having such a great time with this team from Inverse, and we'll be right back with them and talk a little bit more. Stay with us.
We're back on Real Family Talk, discussing the importance of family worship and sharing tried and true methods and tips to help your family start or revitalize your family's relationship with God. So, guys, share with us some tips that you would have for a young family that wants to start having family worship, and where would they begin?
Well, I love the verse that Willie, you read in Deuteronomy 6. I think verse 7, there's this adverb, diligently, is like so key.
I love that.
So every stage of families, I think, you know, we have, Jonathan's kind of like the baby stage and then kind of going up. And then I think even when you have adult children, your family is at a different stage. And the Lord gives us common sense, wisdom, knowledge, analysis, observation, and you're seeing what fits your family worship. And so, you know, we all have our styles, but that's not to be prescribed to every single family. For us, family worship was kind of awkward, right? Especially if you have a little newborn, they're not cognizant. I'm like, am I singing to the baby? Am I praying for them? And then even now with older kids, it's a little awkward. And I think every stage, there's a different challenge that emerges. And so the diligent factor is, no matter how awkward it seems, or whether this is working or not, just keep at it. Just the habit. Diligent. Yeah. And then it's so easy for it to fall away.
Yeah.
It's so easy for it to fall away. So making it into habit, and just, you know, one day is better than no day. 2 days is better than one, and just keep going on it. And that's how a great family, by God's grace, that the Lord has promised.
Yeah, that's so powerful, too. And even teenagers, and you guys don't have teenagers yet, but I'll prepare you.
Praise the Lord.
It's coming.
Yeah, sooner than you think. One of the things we used to do with our teenagers is that we would actually invite them to our bed in the morning. And we would have worship, and sometimes, you know, they were like half asleep, but diligent, you know, and not preaching at them. But something that we would ask them is, you know, what are your prayer requests this morning? What are your prayer praises? And so that would get them involved. Like, oh, I have a spelling test today, or I have a geography test today, or I'm having trouble with my best friend. So that was something that we did with teenagers. So the diligent is really important.
I love that trial and error. You know, you're seeing if this works, and that worked, and you keep going, and then for a while that might not go, and you try something else, and I love the bed idea. We're going to have to try that. That's good.
You know, as he was talking, one thing that I like also from Scripture, if I can just read real quick scripture from Exodus 12. Here it talks about the Passover feast. And, and God says here in verse 25, "It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service." And verse 26, "It shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice,'" and so on. There will be times when your children will ask questions. And you might have to completely diverge away from what you had planned for family worship. Be okay with that. Let them ask questions. That is like the best thing to engage a young mind. I'm thinking of myself. I love questions. I love, you know, digging deep. And I'll be honest, sometimes with family worship growing up, the topic wasn't that interesting to me. But there might be a topic on my mind that I want to talk about. And we often talked about it afterwards. But give your child the opportunity to ask questions and then engage with that, even if it means you have to go off, you know, maybe the plan you had.
Or absolutely.
What I'm really hearing you say, Jonathan, is the need for flexibility.
How flexible
can we be to accommodate the actual need of the family at that moment? Because we come with these preconceived notions of what we're going to do, but then something new emerges. And are we ready for that? And I think those are the most teachable moments in family worship, where they're most impactive and where you actually connect with your children in ways that are affirming to them and builds relationship. Because it's much more than just teaching them about God. It's also building relationship and building trust in you as a parent, that as you're talking about God, you're interested in them. So God becomes a much more interesting topic than if it's just, this is what daddy's doing, or this is what mommy is doing, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, of course, sometimes the questions get really interesting. So when our daughter was 9 years old, and he was actually out of town, she says, well, mommy, what if it isn't true? And I thought, oh my goodness, why do you ask the difficult questions when daddy's away? So I had to really pray, but it was a great opportunity to really have her think about her faith and to have me think about my faith and why I believe it. How about you, Siku?
I was going to say on the questions thing too, that it's okay to say I don't know. And mommy has to go and read and study and figure it out as well. And it teaches them, I think, that it's okay to not know, but, you know, investigation. I was going to say, too, one of the things that I think you mentioned on prayer, inviting them into prayer, even as little as my kids are. I know that our oldest, for a while, when we had three, he's decided he wanted to pray for a fourth. And we were done, and here we are with four.
Wow, the prayers of a child.
But he clings to that as, Mama, you remember? I pray that we would have another baby and that it would be a girl, because we have three boys, and he wanted a little sister.
So you got
and
the girl.
Every family worship, he would pray, Dear God, please give us a little sister. And I would be like, Lord, do not listen to that prayer. But I'm thankful that, you know, he had the blessing of seeing God answer his prayers, you know, as we were praying together as a family.
We really appreciate your time with us today and wish you many blessings as you help others to connect with God. We hope this has been helpful to you and that your family is ready to get family worship started or revitalizing your current situation. We want to share some amazing resources that can help you get started.
We have a full week of devotions and interactive activities for the entire family available free on our website.
You can also go to our website, family.adventist.org, to find a plethora of resources to help your family, young or old, get and stay connected with Jesus. You know, Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As your family moves to serve the Lord, we encourage you to never give up. Diligent. Put God first and seek Him together in all that you do.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.